preaching this, and my routine is to get up on Wednesday mornings real early and type out all my notes. This morning, got up, turned the computer on, and I don't know what it was doing, but it wouldn't let me type what I need to type. Amen. So I had to wait till this evening to type it here at the church. So actually, I'll pray for me, as I don't like being rushed typing through my notes. How many of y'all take notes? Yep. It takes you a little while to decipher through your notes that you put down. Well, figure that this evening in the press time. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into this. I think this is going to be very encouraging for us. It's been good for me in studying it. I'm looking forward to preaching it. So let's stand together as we read the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You may be seated. Thank you. Last week in verses 1 through 3, just to kind of give you a recap, we were examined, we were exposed, and we were encouraged again. Now, through this examining and exposing and encouragement, Christ is also exalted. Here are some ways that Christ was exalted last week. Look in verse 1 of 1 John 5. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. This word believeth is to believe, have faith, to trust in. Now, understand, and we'll get into this a little later in the message, but our believing comes from Christ. This is a working of God's grace. This is not something that we muster up on our own. This is not something that we work at to get. This is not something that we earn. Since this is a working of God's grace for you and I to believe the Word of God, we are able to continue to believe. This word believeth here is in the present tense. So we are able to continually to believe the Word of God. I'll put it to you this way. We didn't do anything to merit being able to believe. Therefore, we cannot do anything to unmerit being able to believe. It is simply a working of God's grace. Something else here in verse 1 is that the Bible says that we loveth. This is to love and regard with strong affection. We love the Lord with strong affection. You know why? Because He first loved us. Again, nothing that we earn, no merit here. Verse 19 of chapter 4, we love Him because He first loved us. Again, this is why, since it's from God and of God, because of God, this is why we can continue to love, because it's of God. Folks, if it was left up to us, we wouldn't continue to do any of these things. Something else here in verse 1, the Bible says, is born of God. And we learned last week, this is God, with a short definition here, imparting to us a new spiritual life. We could say spiritual life, period. Because before we were spiritually dead. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. It was the counsel of His foreordained plan to save all who will be saved, and therefore we are continuously being saved. And nothing can break this off. Nothing can stop you and I from being saved. Does that make sense? Because it's of God. In order for someone to take salvation away from us, they'd have to destroy God. And we learned Sunday that's not possible. Now, this is very encouraging. For me, it is anyway. Hope it is for you. And through this, Christ is exalted. Christ is also exalted when the heretics are exposed, and also the false converts are exposed. Now, why is it that Christ is exalted through here? Because it's through His revealed Word that these false prophets, these heretics, these false converts are exposed. We also saw last week that all who love God love what? His commandments. Keep His commandments. And that His commandments are not grievous to us. If it's a burden for someone to do the things that a Christian is to do, if this is their lifestyle, then according to the Bible, they are not truly a Christian. They are not a follower of Christ. Christ here again is exalted because His Word is found to be trustworthy. It is true. And we will see the same thing here in verses 4 and 5. So let's go ahead and get into it. The first thing in verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The first thing we see here is that only those who are born of God, who are begotten of God, who are born from above, overcometh the world. So, we could say those who are not born of God are not overcomers. This word overcometh is to subdue, conquer, overcome, prevail, get the victory. We are given victory over the world. Now let's stop for a second and let's get our minds wrapped around you and I getting victory over this world. First of all, let's look at the word world, at the definition for it. It's this present world, the present order of things, as opposed to the kingdom of Christ. Worthlessness, evil, both physical and moral, deceit of cares, temptations, irregular desires, specifically the wealth and enjoyments of this life's goods, this world. What a definition. Here we have more examining from this one word, this one definition, more exposing and more exalting. Understand that all who are saved have and are overcoming this world. Now, something else that's interesting here, if you look in verses 4 and 5, we are told that we overcome the world three times. Look at verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So three times we are told this. Now, I know that John wrote as he was inspired of God. So who is it, really, who's telling us that we have overcome the world? It is God. We have been given victory over this world. We have overcome this world. We have subdued this world, this present order of things. So in order for you and I to again understand this, let's look again at the definition for the word world. It's this present world, this present order of things, as opposed to the kingdom of Christ, worthlessness, evil, both physical and moral. Now, folks, these are things that we have overcome. The seed of cares, temptations, irregular desires, specifically the wealth and enjoyments of this life's goods, this world. The Bible tells us that we are overcomers. Think about it this way. Before you and I were saved, the things of this world had a hold on us. I think we can all say amen right there that we understand this. Before the Lord saved our souls, this world had a grasp on us, a death hold that we could not get away from and didn't want to get away from. We lived for this world. We strived for this world. We were consumed with getting and being happy all the time. Our flesh wants to be fulfilled in all things, all areas of our lives. But since only Christ can totally and completely fulfill us and make us to be content, Because as a lost person, we didn't have Christ. We would go from one thing to another, trying to feel or trying to find contentment. We were driven in these areas. Driven by our lust and our pride. And when I say driven, I want us for a second to stop and think about being driven. Not you and I driving our lust and our flesh, but being driven by our lust and our flesh. In other words, our lust, our flesh, was like a taskmaster that would drive us in the direction the taskmaster wanted to go. A taskmaster is someone who would impose tasks of burdens on someone which would involve much labor for the one being driven. This person would be bound with cords and whipped with cords if they were disobedient. Here's the sad part. If this is all someone has ever known, then to them this is the norm. This is life. I think we can all go back, and I don't want you to go back and stay on it very long because of what it used to be, but as a lost person, how much we were driven in these areas and how much we strived and how much we enjoyed living like a lost person. Because we were lost. We liked the things of this world. Sounds like a slave, doesn't it? Well, that's what we were, slaves. We were once slaves to self, to sin, and to Satan. This was our norm. But because of Christ completing the work at Calvary, He has set you and I free. This brings us back to the great passage of Ephesians chapter 2. And I know that we've been here quite a bit in the past few months in the teaching between myself and Brother Jeremy. And looking at these passages here, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 with me, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Let's read this slowly, and let's think about what we just looked at. That you and I are overcomers. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. First thing here in verse 1 is the you. The you ain't me and you. It is me and you. Who's the He here? It's Jesus. It's Christ. So who got quickened? Us. Who did the quickening? That's where I'm going here. Who did the quickening? He did. Look at verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Here's that word world again. And the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is this? Again, this goes back to that definition for the word world. Temptations, the seat of cares, irregular desires, wealth, enjoyments of this life's good, this world. This is the course. This is the direction that you and I were walking. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyles in times past. Watch this. In the lust of our flesh, what were we doing? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Lord, help us. And I'm glad He did. And were by, watch this, nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse 4. But who? But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice the focus here is not on you and I, it's on Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have overcome the cords of self, sin, and Satan. Christ hath set us free. Look back in verse 4. And we're going to do a good bit of flipping tonight. Verse 4, 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is very encouraging. But it is also examining and exposing. This overcoming here, and we'll get there in a second. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Maybe this will help us understand why it doesn't always seem like we have overcome. Second Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good, what? Soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, this is not a suggestion. Let's read verse 4 again. Often it's read as a suggestion or a hope so. No, this is a fact, a Bible fact. No man that warreth. Do you see this word warreth here? It's in the present tense. It's continuously. It's repeatedly. So what are we in continuously and repeatedly? We are in a war. And we are warring. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He's saying that he that is in war does not get entangled with the affairs of this life. All who are saved are in a war. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. Look at verses 18 and 19. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest do what? War a good warfare. Now, if we can war a good warfare, obviously we can war a bad warfare. Look at verse 19, very important. I want to encourage y'all to remember these words like faith here, because we're going to look at that here in a little while. Holding what? Holding faith. Grasping. Getting a hold of it. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith. What happened? Have made shipwreck. Look into chapter 6, verse 12 of 1 Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Again, we see this war going on. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can y'all all agree that we are in a warfare every day? In our minds, our actions, you name it, we are in a constant warfare. This warfare is not fought with flesh and blood. If it was, at times we'd rise up in pride and in flesh and fight all that we could. But since it's not fought with flesh and blood, we cannot physically fight it. Now, why is that? This is God's design. So that no person can get the honor and glory. Only God gets the honor and glory. Now, let's go back to verse 4, 1 John. This is fixing to tie together. 1 John 5, 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and watch this, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This word "our" here can mislead you and I, and will mislead you and I, but by the end of the night, hopefully we can understand what it's talking about here. overcometh here is a result of our faith. Now, I want to give you the definition for the word faith. These definitions are very important to understand these scriptures. The object of Christian faith, meaning the doctrines received and believed. Christian doctrine, the gospel, all that Christianity stands for. I'm going to read it to you again. You ready? The object of Christian faith, this is what the word faith means, meaning the doctrines received and believed. Received and believed. It's one thing to receive them. Christian doctrine, the gospel, all that Christianity stands for. That's what this word faith here in these verses mean, as many of the other verses that we have just read. Now, what is this faith? It's believing the received doctrines of the Word of God. It's receiving the doctrines of the Word of God and believing them. Listen, folks, faith is not some kind of mystical illusion. It's not some kind of thing that you muster up. That's not true biblical faith. This faith will be tried. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Here's that word faith, same word, same definition. The trying of what you believe worketh patience. The trying of what you believe of the doctrines of the Bible worketh patience. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, speaking of Abraham, when God made promise to him, says, and being not weak in faith. You see this, not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So we see there's that we can be weak in the faith, and we can be strong in the faith. Romans 14, 1. The Bible says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. This last part's very important. But not to doubtful disputations. This means don't judge a weak brother for them being weak. And on the side of my Bible, I wrote this in my notes. Don't judge a weak brother, because it may be me by the end of the day who is the weak brother. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Same word. Quit you like men, be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Now, folks, I'm trying to get us a little help tonight. Stand fast in the faith. Now, if you and I don't know what the faith is, how are we going to stand fast? If you and I don't know what our faith is in, how are we going to stand fast? You're not. I'm not. So therefore, it's very important to understand this word faith here, speaking of doctrines and the gospel. Listen, it's speaking of the Word of God. Where's our faith at? It's not in all these things in this world. It's in the Word of God. This is where it is. Our faith is tried and is tested every day. The things of this world constantly pull on us and try to drag us down. Listen, it's different things for different people. 1 John 5, 2, 15 through 17 pretty much sums up what's in this world. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What do we see here? That all that is in this world that is against God, that is opposite of God, that is against you and I, trying to drag us down. Listen, folks, we have overcome these things. We are overcomers. We do not have to give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And we are overcomers because of our faith. And that this faith that we have is not faith. And I want to stress this because we live in such a day and time where people don't know what the Bible says, so they just throw things out there and it sounds good, so they believe it. Listen, this faith that we have is not our own faith, but I also want to say it's a real faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through what? Faith." Same word. "And that not of yourselves." It is the gift of God, not of yourselves. Let me tell you what that means. That means that we didn't earn it. We didn't muster it up. We didn't buy it. We didn't miraculously do something to get it. God gave it to us. And only God can give it to us. Our faith is from God. This is a working of God's grace. Now, because this faith comes from God by the grace of God, I want to point this out also. This faith is not temporary, it's permanent faith. Why is that important? Because you have those today who go around saying, "Oh, you got to keep the faith, because if you don't keep the faith, you lose your salvation. You done messed up now. You lost faith. You lose salvation." I've talked to people on the jobs before that say, "Oh, no, you've got to keep the faith to get in." No, I don't. If it was up to me to keep it, I couldn't do it, and you can't either. Right. Amen. This faith comes from the Lord. Folks, if we'd understand more about that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that all these things come from God for the honor and glory of God. Listen, we'd understand that we are nothing. And we are totally dependent upon Him. We have great victory over this world because of our faith. Now let's look at the definition for the word faith again. It's the object of Christian faith. Meaning the doctrines received and believed, Christian doctrine, the gospel, all that Christianity stands for. A strong faith stems from understanding the doctrines of the Bible. The gospel and doctrines is the object of the Christian faith. The object of Christian faith. If your faith ain't here, where is it at? If your faith ain't here, it's not biblical faith. Biblical faith. Bible faith. Multitudes today love entertainment, love experiences and feelings, and they would rather these things over laboring to rightly divide the Word of God. So then their faith ends up in a feeling. Their faith ends up in some kind of experience. Their faith ends up in a song. Their faith ends up in a sad story. And therefore, it is not biblical faith. And when the storms come and when the storms rage, and they will, this unbiblical faith will be exposed, because when the sea and the winds beat against it, like in Matthew 7, the house built upon the sand, it will fall. It will not stand. It's not that it's weak faith. It's not biblical faith.
I've watched people in this church right here. I've only been pastoring for a short time compared to many others. But I've watched people in this church right here go through some severe trials. Your faith has been tested severely. Not just on a daily basis in some areas, but severely. And I've also watched some of you stand strong in the faith. In other words, you overcome these trials. You overcome these afflictions. Why? Because you're strong in the faith. I've seen others falter in the faith because of a flat tire. Amen. Being an overcomer is great, ain't it? Just think about it for a second. Being an overcomer is great. Let me stop here for a second. Let's think about this. If you go back to 1 John 2:15 and 16. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Can y'all remember when you wanted all these things? How many of y'all was wanting that brand new four-wheeler? And each year they come out with a new one, you want it. Bigger and better and badder. A brand new vehicle. Brand new house. Brand new gun. Brand new purse. I'm not a girl, so help me. Amen. Brand new ring. Brand new earrings. Necklace. Brand new hairdo. The latest fashions. Brand new clothes. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not bad to have all these things. If God gives them to you, great. But these things ought not control our lives. We have overcome these things. These desires for all these... Listen, folks. We have overcome these things through our faith. What is our faith? It's based on the Word of God. Not being bound by this world is truly freedom. When we get bound by the world, do you know what else we get bound by? The bank. Somebody go ahead and say amen. Mortgage companies. When we want to compete with the Joneses, and we don't know that the Joneses died of exhaustion years ago, we want to keep up with them, and here we are about to die of exhaustion also. Verse 5, 1 John 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Only believers are overcomers. Now, notice this word overcometh in verse 5. And this is where I get real excited. It's in the present tense. That means just continuous and repeatedly. We are continually and repeatedly overcoming this world. Does this mean that we're perfect? Nope. Does this mean that we won't mess up and that we won't make bad decisions? Nope, we will. But the direction of our life will be the direction of a life that is continually overcoming. Yes, there's going to be dips and darts and things where we mess up, but the direction will be a life of overcoming this world. Something else. We mentioned a while ago about being weak in the faith and strong in the faith. Now, how do we become strong in the faith? Good question. It's a legitimate question. By getting in the Word of God. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but a motivational speaker will not help you grow in the faith. That's why we try to stress all the time, when another preacher comes in, that preacher is not going to give you revival. That preacher is not going to make you strong in the faith. There's only one way to become strong in the faith, and that is by sitting down and getting in the Word of God and be grounded in the Word. The stronger that we are in the faith, the gospel and doctrines of the Bible, the greater overcomer we are. What happens is that we learn that our confidence is not in ourselves. Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This word "giveth" here is also in the present tense. But guess what that means? God is what? Where's our victory continually coming from? Through Jesus Christ. And this is what God gives us, the victory through, only through our Lord Jesus Christ. So where should our focus be? On Him. 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Don't y'all like to be on a winning team? Don't y'all like to be victorious? To be the victor? Amen. Me too. And we are. This word, again, causeth, is again in the present tense. So what's God always giving? What's God always causing? The victory through Christ, our triumph in and through Christ. You want victory? You want to be an overcomer? Guess where you find it at? In Christ. Amen. Verse 5, 1 John 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" This overcoming is for all believers, but it's only for believers. See, the lost world is still bound by this world. I say, "Well, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not." Well, examine your life. Are you bound by this world? This is good for us adults. Good for us kids. To examine your life. It's not wrong to have dreams, folks. But these things shouldn't control us. Look back at verse 1. "Whosoever believeth," verse 5, "he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Same thing. Here again, this word "believeth," it's in the present tense. Continually believe. Why is it that we can continue to believe? Because we are born of God. To be able to continually to believe is the result of being saved. If you're not saved, you can't continually believe. If you are saved, you will continually believe. Do you see how much of a sharp contrast this is? 1 John is very, again, exposing, very examining, very encouraging. It exalts Christ. But do you see that the majority of people who claim to be Christians today, according to the Bible, are not Christians? It's no wonder the church is in the shape it's in today. This belief that Jesus is the Son of God, this produces fruit. This fruit is a lifelong lifestyle of overcoming this world. And to believe that Jesus is the Son of God is to believe what the Bible says. This believing does more than just make us overcomers. Look at verse 11. "And this is the record that God has given us to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son." Look at verse 13. "These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Look down in verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." So there's more to it than just you and I being overcomers. We know we have access to God. You know, the Scriptures build upon each other. And as we study the Word of God, we become grounded in the Scriptures. And we are built in what? Faith. Now, how are we built up in the faith? Is this coming together? How are we built up in the faith? By believing what? Word of God. This is it. This is God's design. This is how we are built up in the faith. This is it. This is what God's given us. His Word. When we are strong in the faith, strong in the Word, because we are overcomers, Christ gets the honor and the glory. And I want to stress this again. We have a permanent faith. It may be weak, but it's permanent. It's not temporary. We are overcomers, and nothing and no one can take this away from us. This is all because of Jesus Christ. Those who are truly saved, those who have truly believed that Jesus is the Son of God, will live a lifestyle of overcoming this world. Again, I want to stress, we will mess up. We will make mistakes. But we must confess these and move forward and remember that we are overcomers. So I want to encourage you and I in closing tonight to examine our lives for cords that are trying to hold us. These things in our lives that, listen, this world don't ever give up. Satan, I think Brother Jeremy taught on this past Sunday night, that dude, Satan, he don't what? He don't rest. He don't sleep. He ain't got to. He's nonstop. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he's before God, making accusations against you and I continually. And then the next verse says that we have overcome him by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are overcomers. To God be the glory. Let's pray.